The following program's views, claims, and/or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here tonight and until midnight. And a little bit of rain, it seems like, working into the area here in northeastern Ohio. Just a little bit of a sprinkle coming in. Looking at some of the weather reports down south, they're having some terrible weather down there. Some winter tornadoes and activity and such not like that. So certainly our prayers go out to those folks that are down there. And if you're in one of those areas, I know our signal here on WHK W1220 AM travels a ways at times at night. And so if you're in those areas, keep an eye on the sky and the weather out there and hope everybody keeps safe. Well, we'll be here tonight till midnight and taking your calls live with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Get you on the air live with us here tonight. And let's go ahead and start our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be able to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody if there's somebody that's searching. And we just pray that something that we talk about, something we look at this evening, that you could use that to direct that soul to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're probably, if you're a political junkie like I am, watching the events unfold in the South Carolina primaries yesterday, and what do you say? That's a little bit different than what they were predicted. They were predicting that Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney would probably be fairly close, neck and neck, is the way they were talking about it, Newt Gingrich kind of trounced Mitt Romney there. I don't have the big figures, but I'd heard one thing that he led by double digits. I guess I think it was 40-some percent, for Gingrich, and 20-some percent there for Mitt Romney. So it's kind of a lineup right there right now. Iowa, they refigured the votes and they gave the win in the Iowa caucuses to Rick Santorum. And then, of course, New Hampshire went to Mitt Romney, and now South Carolina has gone to Newt Gingrich, and it's anybody's guess now, I guess, who Florida's going to get. My prayer, and I hope your prayer as well, is that whoever we get, they will allow God to direct them and guide them. And certainly as Christians, we ought to be praying not only in the presidential election, but also in all of the congressional elections, House and Senate, and other elections across the country, that God will raise up godly individuals. Because, you know, in reality, it's not who is president. It's not who sits on the Supreme Court. It's not who sits in the halls of the Senate or the House. But it's whether or not God is on the throne of the nation. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the Bible says. So we need to pray that God will raise up some godly individuals and let Christians have their voice heard in these elections. If you're not planning on getting involved and you're a born-again Christian, well, I think you ought to get out there. You ought to let your voice be heard, and the Bible says we ought to be salt and light. Salt has a preserving and enhancing factor, and certainly light pushes back the darkness, and that's our job. That's our role as Christians, as believers. Well, If you've got a call about current events or the Bible, and you want to talk about that here tonight, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air tonight with your Bible question or question about current events out there in light of God's Word. Wanted to mention something here that I thought caught my attention. I was talking in our church today. We were just beginning a look at the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, Revelations, or in some Bibles you'll see it called Apocalypse. That's what the Greek word for Revelation here is. And I was reading something here as we start out. Let me just start here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw." And this is something I saw as I was studying for this and looking at this today. And let me take a look here. If you look at the book of Revelation, of course, we know the key verses in verse 19, chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And so the first chapter pretty much is the things which are which John has seen. And then chapters 2 and 3 are pretty much the things which are, the current conditions there. The remainder of the book of Revelation from chapter 4 on are the things which shall be hereafter. And so Revelation is one of our preeminent prophetic books in the Bible. Now, we know that there's a number of prophetic books in the Old Testament. In fact, we have the major and minor prophets. After you get through the wisdom books and you get into Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Lamentations and then Daniel and Hosea and Joel, Amos, and Obadiah and all them, finally ending up with Malachi at the close of the Old Testament, and you have the prophets there. But in the New Testament, though we have prophetic statements and prophetic passages, we only have one book that's primarily a prophetic book, and that's the book of Revelation. And there's a reason it closes out the canon of Scripture. Let me go back in the Old Testament here for a moment to Daniel chapter 12. Here in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel is a very profoundly prophetic book, very interesting, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. And it's a good companion to the book of Revelation. And in Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 9, after recording a number of these prophecies, Daniel wants to know what it all means. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8, actually, he says, "And I heard and I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be?" And God responds to Daniel through the angel here. He says, "Then he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Now, the next verse, he says, "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." And he is talking about sealing the things in the book of Daniel, these prophecies, until the time of the end. Now, we go back to Revelation chapter 1. God says that that this revelation was given by Jesus Christ to John to reveal things which must shortly come to pass. Now, God's idea and our idea of shortly really are two different things. He said that some nearly 2,000 years ago, and certainly the Bible says that 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. That's because time is inconsequential in heaven. And in light of eternity, in light of an eternal being, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, that's really not much of anything at all. That's not even a blink. But we are now in that time frame where we're starting to see these prophecies unfold. And there's a reason that they were sealed in Daniel's day, and now they're beginning to open up in our day. And you can see that indicated in the book of Amos. Just a little bit after Daniel there, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. in the little book of Amos, chapter 3, and verse number 7, we read, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." And so the things that were sealed in Daniel, they were given to us, but they didn't understand them very well. Now, John comes along, a prophet of God, and these things are shown to him to make them known to us. And to make sure that we read this, God has given a threefold blessing on the book of Revelation. A lot of people avoid the book of Revelation. They think it's too complicated, it's too difficult, it's too mysterious, it's too odd, or some way it's just not applicable today or something. But this is the only book in the Bible that has a threefold blessing given to it. And he says in Revelation 1, verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." So there's a blessing specifically for reading this book. Now, there's a blessing for reading every book of the Bible, because we ought to read the Bible, and we ought to study the Bible, study to show ourselves approved unto God. And there's a blessing from reading the Bible. God speaks to us. He blesses us through it. But this is a special blessing for those who take the time to read and study this book. Not only that, if you take the time to listen to somebody who's preaching and teaching in this book, there's a special blessing there. They that hear the words of this prophecy. And then the third part of this blessing is those that keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, unfortunately, as much as I would like that everybody that listens to this program, everybody that visits the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, so that they would be caught away to be with the Lord at a time prior to the tribulation period that Revelation goes on to talk about. I recognize that there's many people that we talk to, many people that we give tracts to, people that listen to the radio program, that unfortunately are going to be left behind. And so as much as there's a blessing for me and for others who have trusted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior this side of the catching away of the believers, an event that's referred to as the rapture, we have a blessing for reading and hearing and keeping these things. But imagine those that come after us that come to Christ and accept him as their Messiah during the time of the tribulation period. They're going to look at this book, the book of Revelation, and it's going to be a roadmap to them. It's going to be a guidebook to them. It's going to help them to be able to understand who the Antichrist is and the events that are taking place. And there will certainly be a special blessing to them at that time. And if you think about it, people today get all worried that they might receive the mark of the beast accidentally. But if you read the Bible and you read Revelation, it's very clear that the mark of the beast is going to be something that we receive not accidentally. But in order to receive it, you're going to bow down and worship the Antichrist there in Revelation chapter 13. Because in chapter 14, it reveals that those that receive the mark of the Antichrist are going to be cast in the lake of fire for all eternity, because, see, they're going to believe his lie that he's God. He's going to claim to be God at the midpoint of the tribulation. Those that read and study the book of Revelations during that time, they will be able to see that and take warning and avoid that, hopefully. And then, of course, those that might get despairing during the course of the Revelation, some very distressing times that are described here, from very very powerful judgments are poured out on the earth during this time, in fact, such that Jesus had said in Matthew chapter 24 that if the days weren't shortened, if they were any longer is what he meant than what they are, there wouldn't be anybody left on earth to survive it. And there are going to be people in the last portion of the tribulation enduring those things, and they may bear if God's ever going to come back, but they'll have hope and guidance by studying Revelation, as well as other parts of the Bible. But certainly Revelation gives us a good map of what events are going to take place. And we try to understand them here this side of the tribulation. And, you know, I'm just starting it on Sunday mornings at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield and hoping that we can go through it and learn some things from it. But certainly those people who are going to be living in those times described, they're going to get a much better understanding of it firsthand than we can hope to just reading it and trying to speculate in some cases of what God's going to do in the future. Well, if you've got questions about that and questions about other things, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And want to mention here that Pastor Grover called in. I'm sorry, we had a guest last week, and I wasn't able to get to him. I was going to try and catch his prayer last week. I apologize to Pastor Grover for that, but he's very sick, and he would like people to pray for him. And so let's go ahead and offer up a quick word of prayer for Pastor Grover here tonight. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would reach out and touch our brother in Christ. We pray that you would touch his body and encourage him in his spirit. We pray that you would bring healing to him and just strength to him. And we just pray that you'd encourage him and watch over him tonight. Give him a good night's rest tonight. And we do pray that tomorrow he'll begin feeling better, and that we certainly pray that you'd raise him up and restore him back to health so he can continue the work that you've given him to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I certainly hope you're feeling better out there, Pastor Grover, and get better soon. Want to also mention that at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we have a spaghetti dinner coming up. If you would like to join us on February the 12th, that's only about 3 weeks from today, and following our morning service, we are going to have we have an annual spaghetti dinner, usually about the second Sunday in February, right around Valentine's Day, and we'd like to invite you to come and visit us, and we'd love to meet you, and certainly if you're listening would like to visit us, we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we'd love to meet you there sometime during our services. We'll hear the service information and some of those things a little bit later on in the program and the bottom of the hour break and things like that. Well, coming back to some other things that are happening in the world here and happening around us, I was looking at some pro-life news here recently, and we see that the Obama administration has decided to wait until after the November election to start forcing church-affiliated institutions to comply with a new rule that requires that employers cover birth control free of charge through their health plans. Now, you say, well, what's the big deal with that? What's wrong with that? Well, the thing about this, there's a couple things, of course, going on here. They nicely have put this off until after the November elections because he feels so strongly for this issue that he doesn't want it to be a campaign issue. Imagine if the Obama administration was making it known prior to the elections that churches and church-affiliated institutions and ministries are going to be forced under the Obamacare rules to provide birth control free of charge through their health plan. Say, okay, what's wrong with that? Well, what's that little RU-480 drug that is more than birth control? It's actually an abortive, it causes abortions. And what a number of institutions believe is it's immoral to take that drug because it's actually causing an abortion. And we understand, of course, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you study biology, regardless of theology, regardless of whatever your particular cause is, biology simply states that at the moment of conception, there's a distinct human life that's formed, and it's alive, and it is it's not a puppy or something else. It's a human life. It's distinct from its mother, and it's distinct from its father. The mother provides half of the genetic code, and the father provides the other half. And when that new genetic code comes together, you have a distinct individual. Now, that individual at that time, it basically consists of a fertilized egg, which soon forms into the early stages developing into an embryo. And at first, there's only a few cells, and then gradually more and more until finally it differentiates. But regardless of whether you're pro-life or not, the fact of the matter remains, biologically speaking, we cannot avoid the fact that at the moment of conception, there is a life that's formed. Now, if there's not a life form, let's follow this logically for a second. If there's not a life that forms, then it's dead tissue, right? And if it's dead tissue, it's not going to grow. It's not going to differentiate and turn into a baby. So it is alive. It's not dead. It's distinct from its mother. It's distinct from its father. So it's unique. And it's, like I said, it's human. So you have a human life at the moment of conception, a unique human life different from the mother or the father. Now, can we find some basis for this in the Bible? Certainly. The Bible tells us very clearly in Psalm 139, where the psalmist is writing here, David is writing, and he starts in verse number 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." Now, he's talking about a child before they're born. And he goes on to say in verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well." And he says, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which in continence were fashioned when there's yet there were none of them." Now, he's talking about a stage when there are no legs, there are no eyes, there are no toes, there are no hands or anything. All we have is the new unique human life, with the DNA being the book in which the description of how that embryo is going to form is written in. It's all there, written in the book. And whether or not you're going to have black hair, red hair, blonde hair, green eyes, blue eyes, black eyes, brown eyes, all kinds of things, all written in that book. And it's all there, and that's before it even forms. And that's very clear. It goes with science. Science goes with the Bible, and we understand that. Well, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we have John in Cleveland on. And John, are you there? Hello, John.
Yes, hello. How are you
tonight?
Hey,
good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Thank you. Last week you were talking about hospice.
Yes, sir.
And I wanted to get your opinion on DNR.
On DNRs? Okay.
Is that the same as abortion?
No, not at all. Abortion is at the other end of life, obviously. Abortion is the ending of a life that's growing. And generally speaking, abortion takes the life of a child that, left alone, would probably develop quite healthily. A DNR, that's do not resuscitate, for people who are not familiar with that. And that's oftentimes what people will sign and have, like in a hospital setting or something like that. Let's say that you have a case where somebody's quite elderly. Let's give this example here. Say somebody in their 90s in a nursing home, a woman with osteoporosis, and they can be a full code, which means they'll do everything they can to keep them going if they go into some kind of medical distress. Or they can sign a DNR which says that they're not going to use extraordinary methods. Now, here's what happens. If she's a full code, they'll have to do CPR most likely on her if she stops breathing. The moment you press down, if anybody's ever done CPR, the moment you press down on that woman's ribs, and I know this from people who have done this, you will feel and hear bones cracking because she is not able to withstand that. Now, a DNR would prevent that from happening. Now, could you keep her alive doing that, doing the CPR on her? Probably for a little while, but she's going to be in immense pain and probably die anyways from complications and things. DNR is not taking a human life. A DNR is kind of like what we were talking about with the hospice last week, when there's curative medical care available, but sometimes curative care isn't going to work. It's not going to be an option. And so you go from there to comfort care. And with DNR, that ties in a lot with comfort care and things like that, where you're not going to just simply keep a body, you know, breathing by forcing air into it and a heart beating by forcing it to beat, things of that nature. There's a lot of moral ambiguity on some people's parts with DNRs, but essentially a DNR is going to be used for somebody whom, you know, the normal course of death is going to take place. And rather than try to stem the tide, that you're not going to really do anything to prevent anyways. Oftentimes a DNR is there in place to spare the person needless suffering. We could probably talk more about that.
Right.
We're coming up on the bottom of our break. I'll just warn you there.
Okay.
But go ahead.
How much more time do we have?
Less than a minute.
Oh, can I hold over for a minute?
Yeah, sure. We can hold you over. If I don't have anybody on the board right now, so
okay.
Glad to hold you over, but it'll be a few minutes. But DNR, yeah, it's an area that a lot of people misunderstand, and DNR is not killing a person. See, abortion is killing a person. DNR is not. DNR is just not interfering in extraordinary fashion with somebody who is already dying. Abortion is interfering in an extraordinary fashion with somebody who is living and will live, generally speaking. And so that's a world of difference there, other than the fact they're at the opposite ends of life. Well, we got the music coming up, and we've got our break coming. Hope you'll stick with us for the second half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. www.mapleknoll.us, or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight here tonight on WHKW AM 1220, The Word. And we'd love to hear from you with your calls about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. And, of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And certainly invite you to visit us there. I'd love to see you. You can also go out and visit Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. We're brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton, located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's State Route 82 in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can give Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton a call at 440-237-4393. And if you're interested in old collectibles or just about any kind, Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is the place to check out. Let them know you heard about them right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, we're going to get back to our phones here in just a moment. We've held our caller, John, over here, and we'll get to him in just a moment here. But also want to remind you that if you want to get in with your question about current events or in light of the Bible or the Bible itself, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here tonight. And do pray for our program. We depend on your prayers. It's your prayers, the prayers and support of God's people that keeps us on the air, and we enjoy doing it, but we also enjoy knowing that we're making a difference in people's lives. But getting back to our caller, John. And John, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Well, welcome back.
At the beginning of your program, you were bothered by the fact that Obamacare included birth control.
Go ahead.
But I remember, I think it was the last election where Sarah Palin was talking about the death panels. Do you think DNRs are part of the death panels?
A little bit different, because as I said, DNR is sort of taking a hands off, not making extraordinary efforts to interfere with the dying process, as opposed to actively promoting the death of somebody. It's just like last week when we were talking about euthanasia versus hospice care. See, there are places in Europe where elderly people are afraid to check into the hospital because they're afraid they won't check out except feet first, because there are countries in Europe where they can actually, the doctor can rule that they're too old and not in as good a health, so it would be better just to euthanize them whether or not they want to be, and they do it. And there's also places where in Europe where they do the same thing with children.
How would that be done?
Well, I don't have any articles here in front of me, but there was one guy who in Europe basically said that I'm trying to think where it was, but the idea was that if the child, for instance, in the first couple years of its life developed problems, why just euthanize it? If an older person is having too many health issues, just euthanize them. And, of course, they would do that with or without, and generally a lot of times without even consulting those people involved. A doctor just makes the rule, and the government has given them the permission to authorization to do that, they just go ahead and do it. Now, if the cost of care in areas where you have government health care, government-provided health care, they got to contain costs somewhere. And I'll give you an example. Let me give you an example of how this works. My dad, who was diagnosed with colon cancer a few years ago at age 80, I believe it was, had he been in Great Britain, probably would have died. Probably he wouldn't have gotten the diagnosis that showed that it was colon cancer because he would have been considered too old and in too poor health at that time in order to get the treatment. So why spend money on somebody where it's going to cost too much and the system is got to cut corners somewhere? So rather than spend the money on them, they just don't do it. And so they die. Now, you go one step from that to saying, oh, well, rather than provide care for them while we're waiting for them to die, why don't we just get them out of the way sooner? And that's what they do in some parts of the world. Now, that's what Sarah Palin was talking about with the death panels, where they would rule on whether or not you were going to get care. If you're too old, if you're in too poor of health, well, we can't justify spending the money on you. We'll rule that your life isn't worth anything. And then, like I said, it's one step from that to saying, well, rather than wait for you to go, we'll hurry you along. And that's a concern that Sarah Palin had. It's a concern I had from some things, too, in that.
You see a distinction between that and DNR?
Yeah, because as I said before, DNR is not actively trying to kill somebody. Euthanasia is actually killing somebody. Abortion is actively killing somebody.
But how?
DNR is not.
What method of euthanasia would they use?
I'm not in Europe. I imagine probably some kind of a chemical thing. There was a nurse in a nursing home here in the United States a few years ago who decided a pillow was his method of euthanasia because he thought that the patients were suffering too much. Now, see, and that's wrong, too. He was rightly prosecuted and went to jail for that.
Is that what Sarah Palin is worried about?
Not a pillow, but some sort of chemical euthanasia, yeah. And I'm concerned about that, too. I mean, we've got a plan that wants to take us into a more European-style healthcare system, and that's what the European-style healthcare systems have gone to in some countries, like the Netherlands is one in particular. I think France is another one. And it's simply because they're out of money. You cannot afford to pay for everybody's aspirin. You cannot afford to pay for everybody's Band-Aid. You cannot afford to have a nurse, basically kiss everybody's boo-boo because they can't, you know, wash it off and put a Band-Aid on it at home. When I was in the Air Force, there were people who, rather than go to the BX and buy a Band-Aid and maybe buy some antibacterial cream or something and put on it and then put on their own scratch or go buy, some Alka-Seltzer cold medicine or something, they would go make an appointment at the clinic, take time off work, wait for a doctor or a nurse to see them so that the doctor could write a prescription for them so that they could go to the pharmacy and get the same thing they could have bought on their own time at the BX. And they can go get it for free at the pharmacy. And see, that's what happens with these national healthcare systems. People nickel and dime it to death. And, I'm glad that we live in a country that has the best healthcare possible. My dad had tremendous healthcare, and he's alive with us today. He's in tremendous health and doing well, and a success story, and numerous other people. But
what if they had wanted you to sign a DNR for him?
Well, actually, we did.
Oh.
Or I'm sorry, I'm thinking of my mom. We had a DNR for her. But my mom was on hospice care for a year and a half with a DNR. And we didn't have any problems
but
there.
What's that? You actually signed it?
Well, yeah. She signed it. She made the decision.
Oh.
She was of sound mind, and she was able to make that decision, and she did so. And, and that's a thing. That's a big thing. I got another caller calling in.
All right.
But the big thing is over in Europe, like Netherlands, places like that, you don't have that right. You yourself or myself, I could check into the hospital and the doctor could decide whether or not I wanted it. He thought, my life wouldn't be worth living any longer. And you could euthanize you without your input.
And
we kind of think you'd want to have some input on that. And, you look at things like that. It's a complex issue, and it ought to be solved on a case-by-case basis, and I think it ought to be done, a DNR, and things like this ought to be entered into hospice, ought to be entered into between the family involved, the people involved, their doctor, and I think they should actually have their pastor involved, people of that nature, and they should pray about it. It's not something that you do just automatically. But we need to keep that at a local level rather than have a bureaucrat out in Washington, D.C. making that decision for you. I think you'd rather be in charge of your own health care yourself, making decisions like that,
rather
than having a bureaucrat. You know how that works at the when you go to get your license. You know, they're really concerned about you.
I don't think I'd want to have the nurse with the pillow.
No, I agree with you on that. I'll let you go on that one, John. Appreciate the call. And if you're wanting to call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here tonight. And I believe we have Beryl in Cleveland calling next. And Beryl, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I enjoy your program.
Good to have you tonight.
And I'm learning a lot. And application. Now, not on the DNR, but on the... idea of birth control generally.
Yes, ma'am.
That we have to back up a step,
mm-hmm.
you know. The one that controls birth is the Creator.
And that's absolutely true.
Interjected our 2 cents in that process, you
mm-hmm.
know. Back in the 60s, I believe it was, when the birth control pills came out, that we have thought we'd have a leg up on God and what he had, the attraction he made between men and women. Now, on the thing that we've gotten to now, in the day that we live in, when hardly anyone's getting married,
mm-hmm.
Certainly this seems to be sin on top of sin. The whole idea of birth control now is, first of all, we have to go back to the book of Matthew for Bible, to get the biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
On the lust in the man's heart.
Right.
So, you know, following that trajectory, certainly if we were to interject God's thought, it would be that lust in the man's heart creates the whole domino effect of the child being born. And
right.
So, first of all, men have to learn how to keep their hands to themselves. And pray about the lust in their heart, okay?
Well,
now,
and the devil attacks.
If we cannot do that,
yeah.
then there needs to be a legal preventative measure that before the man who has touched the woman to bring about this fetus or unfetus or glob cells, whatever you want to call it, that is a person that should be upfront pay for the 18 years that the child will be born, because we're going to get rid of abortion, right? So that upfront, the man should pay the upfront 18 years of child support plus college for that fetus or glob cells. So we just have to back it up a little bit to the man's responsibility, because the law, as I was always told in church, is that the law was given to the man. So why all the legal ramifications to the woman? And I'll hear your response.
All right. And you bring up some good points there, Beryl. And the lack of responsibility. We live in a day, and certainly the sexual revolution of the 60s, which the birth control pills made possible, and you look at that, what that did was it began to upset God's law, like you said. And that there used to be consequences to sex outside of marriage, and consequence being children being born. And that was a big hindrance towards some of this activity. And, you know, it used to be a shame for somebody to be pregnant outside of marriage. And they would look on the woman with shame. Usually she would be sent away to a school somewhere outside of her regular school. And even the men oftentimes would be shamed for having done that. And we've lost that. The birth control pill, of course, has taken away a lot of that risk. And then with the legalization of abortion in the 70s, you know, kind of put the killing blow to it, because now if plan A, the pill, doesn't work, or the birth control doesn't work, you can now just kill the child. A child that came, you know, achieved life, not because it asked to. It didn't have anything to do with how it was conceived, but now here it is alive, a unique living human life. And a lot of times men, they don't want to take responsibility. And so they'll just say, well, go get an abortion. And if need be, I'll pay for it. It's cheaper to pay for an abortion than to pay to raise a child. So I'll just pay for it. And here's another thing that's helped kill and hurt this whole situation and promote the rise of immorality is the government stepped in. And rather than the government step in and saying, listen, we're going to hold that man responsible. We're going to, through the government, because this affects society. And it certainly does. They say that a child born out of wedlock is far more likely to be on drugs, to become an alcoholic, to be arrested, to get involved in crime, than a child born to a married husband and wife. In fact, the single best thing that you can do, according to the statistics, to ensure that a child grows up and to try and keep him from growing up as an alcoholic or a drug addict or a criminal, is to be married. And the government, rather than enforce that, the government said, you know what we'll do? Single biggest preventer of poverty is a man and a woman who have married and are raising their children together as husband and wife. And unwed mothers, single mothers, sometimes it happens, husband dies or abandons the family, whatever, I understand that. But single mothers, their children are more likely to be raised in poverty than children of married parents. But what has happened is the government, rather than stepping in trying to hold the men responsible for their actions, they've said to the woman, well, listen, you know, we'll pay for that. We'll give you aid for dependent children. We'll give you women, infants, and children money. We'll give you help with a place to live. And if you have more children, we'll give you more money, and we'll provide more benefits. And so the government has stepped in and said, you know what? A husband, a father, isn't necessary. Just trust Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam will step in, and Uncle Sam will help take care of your needs. And, you know, funny thing is, when the government pays for something, the government usually gets more of what they pay for. And what has happened since the 60s, as these programs that the government has instituted on the federal and state levels to pay for women to have children out of wedlock and to not hold the men responsible, what have we got more and more? We've got more and more children being born outside of wedlock. And that's the only thing that I know that you can get a pay raise simply by having another child. Most women who are working, if they have another child, their boss isn't going to give them a raise just because they had another child, but the government will. So, you know, you fall into this cycle of poverty and dependency on the government. And I can't help but think that there's an ulterior motive on the government's part there to make people dependent on the government, because the more people are dependent on the government, the more they're going to vote for those people that are going to give them more goodies from the government coffers. And unfortunately, those people usually don't tend to be pro-life, pro-family, conservative values, biblical values type people. And so we need people who are going to hold the men responsible. We need men who will stand up, men who have a sense of responsibility. And the best way to do that is to reach men with the gospel and tell them that the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death, and that there's going to be a judgment for our actions in the flesh. And if we don't trust Christ as our Savior, accept the payment that He made as He shed His blood on the cross to pay for our sins, then we're going to be accountable for our sin. And the sin of fornication, the sin of abandoning these children, the sin of abortion, whatever it might be, we're going to be responsible for that before God. And part of the punishment in hell will be based upon the level and quantity of the sin that we committed in this life. The only way to escape it is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and allow His blood to wash away our sin. And then God will clothe us with His righteousness. And that's a tremendous thing. We're covered not with our righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but instead we're clothed with the righteousness of God. And Romans chapter 3 makes that very clear when we come to him, it says the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That righteousness is God's righteousness, and he wraps it around us when he saves our soul, saves us from our sin. And appreciate that, Beryl, giving me the opportunity to talk about that a little bit. And, of course, we've got a few minutes left on the program here tonight, and we can probably get another caller in here at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Toll free if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And it's our responsibility. I alluded to the idea that as Christians, we're to be salt and light in the world. And so if we're saved, we ought to take responsibility for our actions, and we ought to try and teach that to others. You know, sad thing is, look what happens with a lot of these men, and getting back to a subject that Beryl brought up there a little bit more again, this is just something I've noticed. I've talked with my wife about it. I've talked to others about it, and it seems like what happens is you've got these men, though they may be 20-some years old, 30-some years old, or even older, they're perpetually 16-year-olds. Think about this for just a minute. At age 16 for a guy, that's when you can get your driver's license. You've got some independence. You can have a part-time job, get some spending money. You know, you can go out and have a girlfriend, go out and enjoy yourself and all of that. But you've still got somebody to pick up the pieces. You've got somebody, you got mom and dad or somebody to fall back on, get you out of trouble, things of that nature. So no real serious responsibilities for life like you do when you turn 18. And a lot of guys are stuck at age 16. They're still teenagers, though they might be in a 20 or 30-some-year-old body or older, and they're living life as a 16-year-old. And so they want a girlfriend. They want somebody that they can live with. And, you know, guess what? They don't move in. They don't move their girlfriend into their home usually. They usually move in with the girl in her apartment because there's the government providing a place for her to live. And so he moves in, stays with her until finally they have a big fight and he leaves, or she finally wises up and kicks him out. And so over and over and over, they find themselves living with these women in these women's homes with these women's children. And you get something like the case down in Florida recently that was on the news, where she had, I think, 15 children and 13 of them were living at home. And or is 13 and 12 of them are living at home, and she was waving her hand around the room because she was losing some of her benefits, and she said somebody has to take care of all these, meaning why should she have to take care of them herself? And there was at least three or four different fathers involved for all these kids, and a lot of times when these guys come into the home, they don't have any loyalty to these other men's children, other boys' children. And so they beat them, they abuse them, and things like that. They don't care for them. And so, you know, the cycle starts again. She kicks him out, and she gets another one. And again, she has him living in her place. Government pays for it. And she produces more children. She gets a raise in her benefits. And he starts abusing the children. Over and over, you see this in the news all the time. I know there's exceptions. I know there's people who make it off from welfare and all, but there's just so many like that. Well, I'm sorry to end on such a down note right there, but the secret, the trick, or not the trick, that's a bad choice of words, the solution to this problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. When somebody gets saved, they put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they begin to grow, and they begin to mature, and they go past age 16, and they start to grow up. And a man that starts to grow up, a 16-year-old that starts to grow up and become a man of God, he's a man that's going to make a difference in the lives of those around him. And he's going to settle with a woman, and he's going to love her and cherish her and protect her and take care of her. And he's going to watch over her kids if she has them before or not. Well, we're out of time here, and I hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Good night, and God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.